Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Whitehaven Coal Quarterly Report Investor Briefing. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press zero followed by one on your telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded today, Friday, July 15th, 2016. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Paul Flynn, Managing Director and CEO. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for making the time to listen in to our June quarter 2016 quarterly report. I'm joined here also by our other team members, Jamie Frankham and Kevin Ball and Ian McAleese, obviously, for our question session afterwards. But I'll try and zoom through our June report and try and get to that part of the discussion, as I'm sure that's probably where the focus will be. But look, let me just say a few opening remarks. I think we've rounded out a very good year for ourselves. Certainly, production-wise, we've set some real highlights, and importantly, as a milestone, we've been looking to try and get over the 20 million ton mark, both in ROM and sales this year, and we certainly have done that. So set a record for ourselves, which is a great achievement at 20.5 million tons of ROM per year, 30% up on the previous corresponding period. Relatedly, our saleable coal production at 19.7 for the year at a managed level was also a milestone for us. Managed and equity sales of 20.1 and 15.4 million tons, up 44% and 42% respectively. During the quarter itself, Maules Creek has been going really nicely and was running at a 9 million ton run rate during that quarter. Not to be outdone, Narrabri certainly wanted to tuck away a record on its own, and we saw our first million ton month recorded during the quarter, which was a significant milestone before it went on its changeout. But Tarrawonga also wanted to show what it could do, and at 2.4 million tons of ROM for the full year, again, is a very impressive achievement given that we've certainly got less man-hours there than what we've had in the past. ROM coal production at 5.6 million tons and saleable coal production at 5.1 million tons for the June quarter, also outstanding results. As you know, Narrabri was going through its second changeout in this year and did that during the full changeout during the quarter, and production has been resumed in longwall panel 6 safely and on time. So excellent ROM coal production also from our Gunnedah operations, which has had an outstanding year at 5.8 million tons for this year, a 5% increase period on period, which is great. We have tabulated for you just the various elements of guidance we've given you during the course of the year and tallied up also those outcomes for you. Significantly, we've met all our guidance, which I think is important. And the only missing piece of the puzzle, as you know, we've got our financial results out on the 18th of August, so we'll leave you with some anticipation about that element of it. But the cost guidance we have given in the past, a $1-$2 per ton lower than our $58 run rate, we stand in very good position to achieve the upper end of that range. So I might leave you with that data point. Over the page, in terms of managed coal production, as I say, 5.57 for the quarter had a managed ROM, an excellent result, and 20.5 for the year to date. Our saleable coal production at 5.1 versus 4.7, 8% up for the quarter was definitely a good result, but year-on-year, we've at 19.7 versus the 14.6, 35% is quite an achievement. Our managed total sales at 5.2 for the quarter, 22% up. But as I say, our 20.1, really quite an outstanding achievement, 44% up on this time last year. The equity numbers relatedly, obviously, similarly good. Our total ROM sales for the period at 15.76 over 12.2, 29% up. Saleable coal production, 15, just over 15 versus 11.2, 34% up. And our coal sales for the period, 15.4 versus 10.85 or 86, 42% up on the period. Stocks are down, as you can see. We've obviously the change in ratio between ROM to sales has seen us draw down stocks during this period, which is a positive thing, converting that working capital into dollars in the bank. From a safety perspective, we've had another good year and certainly a couple of standouts that we wanted to call out. Rocglen and the Gunnedah CHPP operations have recorded their second year in a row without a recordable injury, which is fantastic, certainly leading the challenge within the business. Our TRIFR rate continues to come down, as we've noted there. Particularly noteworthy also is Narrabri, I think, just to mention that, given that we have had two full change-outs during the course of this year, which entails a significant amount of manual labour, manual work, and consequently the opportunity for incidences to occur. But certainly they've done better than expected, achieving a better than 10% improvement year on year. So that is a fantastic thing to be able to say. Coal sales and pricing, again, the 20 million tonne mark is obviously a threshold item that we wanted to achieve this year, and certainly we've done that. The total coal sales for the quarter at nearly 5.2, some 22% up on the previous corresponding period. Importantly, the mix is starting to change. As you see, the benefit of Maules coming on with this opportunity to bring more met coal into the market. We achieved 21% met coal sales during the period and relatedly, therefore, 79% in our thermal. The 20.1 in sales, as I mentioned, 44% up. During this period for the year, 16% met coal sales versus 84% for thermal. But the nice feedback we're getting from uniformly across all the steel mills is that Maules Creek semi-soft is really impressing them, and certainly they're telling us that that's going to form part of their ongoing blends as for coke making in the future. Just to give you a little bit more information, we have mapped out for you in that chart headed quarterly metallurgical coal sales. The volumes as over those respective quarters, you can see a nice trend there. At June, that was about 16%. At September, that was about 14%. December, with the great body of thermal that came out of Maules in that first 6 months, you can certainly see the impact of that bringing down the average 10%. But then the volumes of met certainly ticking up nicely, 15 in the last quarter, and this final quarter for the year rounding out nicely at 21% is a pretty good result. Met coal sales during the quarter averaged at 63.20, which was certainly positive. We think that'll be slightly better in the quarter coming with the related improvements in hard coal settlements and that cascading impact onto the semi-soft sales. So we think the semi-soft will be in the order of 67 to 72. GC Nuke average for the quarter at 51.61 is lower. But our Maules Creek sales are doing about $4.50 better than that per tonne. So the average for Maules Creek was actually $56.15, which is an 8.8% increase over the index, which is quite positive. And obviously we've seen the index rise since the close of the month in particular. Our average coal sales at thermal sales at $51.94 represents a smaller premium over previous quarters, and certainly smaller than what will go forward. But that's really a consequence of a timing difference with a few more low CV sales, as our Gunnedah ops produced that certain seam sections within the inch of their mines, represented a slightly higher proportion of the total coal sales for the quarter than what they normally do. But again, just a timing difference there. On to Narrabri, and as I say, a significant achievement there in pumping out a million tonne month in April, which is something we've all been working towards closely. Nearly got there in January at 984,000, but just missed out. But nice to see that milestone come and go. The change-out has certainly gone on time and budget, and that's been very positive. And Longwall Panel 6 has commenced production. We started about, I think it was at the 21st of June, I recall, back into coal. So that's certainly moving on nicely into July already. Just to wrap up the outcomes from that from the quarter, 1.37 million tonnes for Narrabri ROM reflects that change out right in the middle of it. But we did nearly 6.9 million tonnes for the total year in ROM, which again is a substantial achievement given that we had two full change outs in this financial year. That means that we ran significantly over the nameplate capacity, but we're better than 8.5 million tonnes on an annualised basis when you factor out those two change outs. So a significant achievement. Longwall Panel 6 is our last 300-metre panel, as you know. We do expect a 400-metre face to commence during the latter part of the second quarter of FY17. So May, think about May is probably the right time to be doing that. And the expansion project itself is running on time and budget, so that's positive again. Salem coal production, just to wrap up these stats, at 1.4 versus 2.3 reflects that change out. Salem coal production for the year is nearly 7.27, slightly ahead of the previous year, and obviously drawing down stocks, as I mentioned earlier, to bolster that sales to ROM comparison. Sales across the page at 1.47 versus 7.52, again lower on a quarter basis, but slightly higher actually a year-on-year comparison, which is certainly positive. Maules Creek is doing exceedingly well, very pleased with the outcome in its first full year of commercial production. 7.8 million tonnes is a significant achievement on a ROM basis and nearly 7.4 on a saleable coal basis. The mine operated during the quarter just over the 9 million tonne annualised basis, in fact, so it's actually performing really, really well. June quarter ROM at 2.471 and nearly 2.25 in saleable. Again, pretty solid numbers given that this is the first full year of production. So those quarterly numbers certainly bearing out that run rate over that 9 million tonne per annum annualised rate. As I mentioned, the semi-soft is certainly receiving very positive feedback from the market, and Maules Creek did over a million tonnes of semi-soft sales during the year, which is in excess of where we thought we'd be in the first full year, but that's certainly a very positive outcome. The next step for Maules Creek ramp-up is the 10.5 million tonne run-up rate. The equipment's on order, and we expect that equipment to start arriving September and be on the ground in its full capacity during the month of December. So we certainly want to see that 10.5 million tonne rate being performed during the second half of the 17 year. Not to be forgotten at all, in fact, the Gunnedah Ops have had a fantastic year, I have to say. So they've done really, really well in a challenging environment. So total ROM production there for the Gunnedah open cuts at 1.73 million tonnes is certainly a very positive outcome for the quarter, and a 5.8 for the year, certainly a significant achievement and a highlight for the group. I don't think we've ever produced greater than that out of those mines, so that's very positive. Tarrawonga, as I mentioned, set a record, 750,000 tonnes for the quarter and 2.4 for the year, certainly a significant achievement. Saleable coal production for the quarter of 537,000 tonnes and just under 2 million tonnes for the full year, certainly evidences the productivity gains that we've made there at Tarrawonga, certainly the opportunities for cast blasting, more dozer push as a proportion of a total material movement, certainly has given us some significant benefits from an efficiency perspective and brought costs down relatedly. Coal sales at 520,000 and full year at 1.97, certainly very significant achievements for this year. Rocglen also produced very strongly during the course of the quarter, 327,000 tonnes of ROM for the June quarter, and a full year total of 1.267 million tonnes is certainly up significantly over the previous corresponding period. Saleable at 300,000 tonnes and 912,000 tonnes for the full year, again, relatedly very good, with sales at 320 and a full year of 880,000 tonnes. As I say, Rocglen has had an outstanding safety record, and we certainly want to hold that out as the benchmark within the group to make sure that our other production facilities can try and emulate the success that our team at Rocglen is delivering. And Werris certainly again had a very strong year, so that was quite positive, 644,000 tonnes of ROM for the quarter, and for the full year, 2.11 million tonnes for the full year. Production was slightly down, but we did conduct a restructure at the Werris Creek during the course of the mine, so it was nice to see them maintain such good levels of output, given that we have focused on reducing our costs there even further. Saleable coal production at 650,000 tonnes and 2.15 million for the year was very strong, and relatedly, sales of 700,000 tonnes for the quarter and for the full year, 2.24, were also very good. Now, the Vickery project and the expansion case certainly continues to be developed, and we've modelled that out to a 10 million tonne scenario now, and certainly most of the studies required to lodge for an enlarged application are now coming to a conclusion, and most of those reports will be written up during the course of July. The one remaining area of focus for us before we lodge our EIS is the finalisation of the rail corridor for the Vickery project. We have a number of scenarios that we're evaluating, so we're just going through the final optimisation of those three choices that we have, and we look to bottom that work out certainly during this next 6 months with a lodgement of an EIS to upsize our current approval from the 4.5 million tonnes to a 10 million tonne case. Timing hasn't changed in terms of the Vickery development timeline. That certainly sits in neatly behind the full ramp up of Maules Creek. At a corporate level, the guidance that we delivered both at the half year and then reiterated back in March, we certainly delivered on from a production perspective for this year. So that's been a very positive outcome in that regard. Some extra data there just in terms of our hedge book that we normally provide, and exploration during the course of the quarter was quite minimal. But overall, I just wanted to say that we've rounded out what we see as a pretty solid year. Certainly the ability to get over the 20 million ton scale on a managed level was certainly something that we were shooting for, and nice to see that's comfortably achieved at 20.5. The company seems to be hitting its straps at this level of volume, and we're still seeing opportunities for us to reduce our costs, as I say, as we gain this scale, and we are producing more tonnes and doing it more safely year on year, which is a key requirement as far as our own objectives are concerned. So with that, I appreciate everyone dialing in, and I'll hand back to the operator now for some Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from Peter O'Connell from Shaw and Partners. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Paul. Congratulations. The Kool-Aid tasted very nice from last quarter and still does.
Thanks, Peter.
A couple of questions. Just with, firstly, the coal price realizations, you mentioned about where the numbers were weaker because of the low CV sales. Could you just run me through that again? I just didn't quite pick that up. And also on the semi-soft side, the numbers were at the lighter or lower end of what you had guided the contracts might be for the June quarter. I think it was 64, 67 was the range. Just why that was the lower end of the range, and on that basis, what should I expect for the September quarter, given that 67 to 72?
Yeah, okay, yeah, we'll try and deal with that. Look, a solid run for the year, I have to say, Peter, and we're very pleased to be able to trickle over that that 20 million tonne threshold. Certainly marks us out as a reasonable size organisation. Look, the mix of the sales during the quarter, I mean, we actually did have pretty strong met sales during that quarter in particular, but we also did have proportionally a higher level of lower CV sales. Now, you know that we do get some lower CV coal out of our Gunnedah ops, and it's really just the timing of the delivery of those. There was more of those in this June quarter than we had in previous quarters. So we certainly think that going forward, the premium over the average of the average of GC Nuke for the month should start to increase. We're just going through our production analysis for not just the last quarter from a management perspective, but also for the year. And I think our average ash that we delivered, or we produced during the course of the year, was actually less than 10% for the first time across the whole year, which is quite a significant achievement. And what you'll see related to that is the proportion of high CV sales outweighing those low CV sales. Those low CV sales, as I said last year, had peaked in terms of volume, so they'll start to be diminished as a proportion as we get more and more coal out of Narrabri, and we get more coal, obviously, out of Maules Creek, being the highest quality coal that we have to sell. So that will certainly change as we go forward, and you'll see that premium over the average of GC Nuke for the quarter increase in subsequent quarters. From the met coal side of things, does that deal with that, Peter?
Yeah, sorry, that's fine, yep.
Yep. And met coal? From the met coal side of things, certainly, yeah, the met coal market is certainly starting to improve, so we're seeing a little bit more positivity in that market. But the settlement of the sales we had that running into that quarter certainly gave us a price that was lower than what we'd otherwise expect. But that's really just, again, the tale of previous lower price sales, and now the newer sales that we're bringing on are certainly seeing a more positive outlook for met, which is good. You've seen the spot price for met obviously trickle up as well, which has been good. The split for us, the 21, if you look at the run rate of the met coal sales, that 21% certainly is indicative of where we think we can go in this new year, so that's quite positive. So you should consider us to be able to maintain that type of mix as we go through into this new year. So say Maules Creek met in particular is certainly receiving very, very good feedback on its quality. And as I've mentioned before, the quality, in particular the coking properties of Maules Creek semi-soft coal, is better than expected. And that's certainly been the feedback that we're getting from customers. So I expect that to increase. So the guidance we've given you there, 67 to 72, We certainly think, you know, the midpoint of that is certainly achievable for our sales for this next quarter.
That's excellent. And can I just ask on cost? Just to understand that cost guidance, to make sure I've got this right. First half, 58. Guidance, $1 to $2 below that and towards the higher end of that range, which is just 56. Now, that 56 is the full year guide or the second half guide?
No, that's the full year guide.
Just to be clear. Right,
yep, that's just to be clear.
And the FX assumption that underlies that, an oil price that underlies that? I know that's history now because we can bank that, but how should I think about the FX and oil price sensitivities around that?
For delivery of that 56, you're saying?
Yeah, I know that's history and I can put in the actuals, but
yeah.
thinking ahead for this year, what sort of moves, given the currency started to creep and the oil price started to move high, how should I think about those two influencing what could be your cost for this year against an overall lower trend?
Yeah, Peter, we haven't provided any guidance on currency in any of our previous guidance, and we prefer not to go into that this time around either. I mean, if you look at the forward curve, I mean, I think if you take that, that seems to be fine. Obviously, with if you do the math at the moment on the spot currency today versus spot GC Nuke, say, today, you can see, obviously, that is a signpost to improve margins. So I think that from our perspective, we would certainly see that run rate, seeing, obviously, the prospects for the company improving. And historically, those margins that you've seen us deliver in the first half, there's no reason why that wouldn't be improved based on that spot scenario.
That's great. Thanks so much, Paul. Well done.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Paul McTaggart from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. So I just want to follow up. So I think from my you're getting an 8.8% premium for the Maules Creek thermal content. From memory, that's a 6,700 kilocal coal, so over benchmark should be getting nearer 12. Is that, are you confident now that you can kind of get to that sort of full 12% level on an energy basis?
Yeah, I think Paul, just to clarify that, I think you may be quoting on a gross basis, not a net, an NAR basis. So on an NAR basis,
you're right. Yep.
We're generally around the 63.50 on a net basis.
Okay, all right, thanks for that. The other thing I wanted to ask, so if I look at yields through Maules Creek, ROM versus saleable, so you did 91% in that quarter, so, you know, pretty good yield. As you roll forward, do you think you're going to kind of stay about that, or do you think, you know, if you obviously do a greater proportion of met coal, obviously it'll come off a little bit, but how should we think about what the yield should be in the year ahead?
Yeah, look, I think if we continue at that run rate that we've just described, 21 that we did in the last quarter, we'll try and obviously improve on that. But those yields are pretty consistent, and so as we wash more, like as you're pointing to, there should be a small reduction in that total yield that you're quoting over time. But we're only obviously doing that because the margin improvement in selling met coal is so substantial compared to our thermal. So that will drift down a little bit, but not a great deal. I mean, if you're thinking that, you know, it might be, if you were at the 50-50 run rate that we say that we'd like to get after 5 years with Maules Creek between met and thermal, then you're probably yield-wise going to be probably just under the 90, I would have thought, on a total basis, 89, 90, somewhere around there.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Your next question comes from Lynn Lowcock from UBS. Please ask your question.
Oh, good morning, Paul. It's Lynn's brother, Glenn, here. So, just a couple of quick questions, if I can. Just looking at the Gunnedah ops, you know, 7 million tonne ROM rate in the June quarter, you know, as you said, an outstanding quarter. How sustainable is that? You know, how should I think about the Gunnedah ops now, you know, going forward? And another question would be just on costs. Just, you know, done well. You know, I guess oil price is now going against you, and that'll probably mean consumable costs maybe start to rise as well that are oil-based. Just wondering how you think about 17 now, what you can do to try and offset some of the pressure that maybe start to come back with a higher oil price. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks, Lynn. Look, the Gunnedah Ops has had an outstanding June quarter, and if you go back and map Gunnedah Ops performance in June quarters in previous years, you know that they generally run at a rate in that back end of the year much higher than what they do for the average of the year. And so you shouldn't impute basically that we're going to do 7 million tonnes from the Gunnedah Ops. It's just that we've had another big June quarter as we've had in previous June quarters. I mean, that's heavily influenced by the seam sequence that we encounter in terms of where they appear in the calendar year, heavily influenced by Tower and Werris. But I think 5.8 certainly is an outstanding year, and I think generally we think that that's probably around the 5.5 type number on a year-on-year basis. But, you know, we've obviously knocked it out of the park in this last quarter, and we're certainly encouraging the team to push ahead. The costs, as you mentioned, look, that's always something that's a concern, and obviously fuel costs are important to us. Not so much at Narrabri, as you know, but certainly in the open cuts and Maules being a big proportion of that now, there is some sensitivity to that. Look, I think we've got to continue to look at the efficiency of our operations and look at ways in which we might manage the risk associated with fuel. And the fuel sensitivity is important to us, but it's not massive. 10% of our in-pit costs, you know, is the general yardstick that we've spoken to you about in the past. And when we look at that variation, that's important, of course, but the price, you know, hasn't really taken a big rise to the extent that that's a material change that we're expecting during the course of this next 12 months.
Do you have a thought then on what you could do in 17? You know, another $1 to $2 a tonne down again? Is that achievable with, you know, more volume? I mean, obviously you won't pick up the extra volume at Narrabri much in 17. Until really an 18 story with the wider panels. But any thoughts on what you might be able to achieve this year?
Look, I think we'll just reserve the giving of any guidance in that regard, Glyn, until we get the full year results out, so people got some context in which to be able to assess, you know, what the guidance will be at that time. As you know, we've had a pretty good focus on cost, and we've delivered some pretty solid outcomes. This year, as we say, will be no different. Obviously, costs going forward will be driven, as I mentioned to Paul on Paul's question earlier, by Maules Creek to some degree. The benefit of the wider face at Narrabri doesn't come until, you know, really the back end of the year. So we shouldn't be looking for too much of an improvement out of Narrabri until that's done and up and running at a good rate. Maules gets slightly more efficient from a cost perspective as we get a little bigger, which is nice. But we are planning to, have been, and certainly planning to wash as much as we can, just because the improvement in that margin, as you know, is very substantial. So to the extent that the market is embracing Maules semi-soft and wants more of it, we're going to do that. That does imply a slight drift up in costs over time. But we'll be focused on this and making sure that we minimise that drift upwards. But again, that drift should always be looked at in the context of margin that it creates. But we'll leave any cost-based guidance through really until the results out in 18th of August.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from Brendan Fitzpatrick from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Thanks. Good morning. The Vickery mine, that concept of a 10 million tonne production rate, is there anything significant in terms of potential capex required versus the 8 million tonne concept that was previously being studied?
Brendan, no, nothing particularly different between the two of them. We're just trying to work out what volumetrically works from efficiency perspective. So we certainly would like to see that mine at 10 million tonnes per annum, and that's the case that we'll submit to the government, and all the modelling in terms of the important aspects of noise and dust and so on seem to be accommodated within that production envelope. So that's where we'd like to go. This mine definitely does deserve more scale given the quality of the resource. It is, as you all observe, a deeper deposit on the same seams as Maules. So it's going to be a little bit more expensive. So the scale is important to us. But yeah, capital-wise, not a material change in those two scenarios.
Okay, thanks for that. And one other question. We've touched on quality and price realization a few times. Just to clarify one element, the Maules Creek thermal coal, did the product spec change much from the prior March quarter? Was that a contributor to the slight increase in the realized price for the Maules product?
Our spec hasn't changed, Brendan. No, not at all. I mean, the coal quality is excellent, has been very, very good. So no real change there at all. Really, what's changing and what we can see to continue to change is our ability to negotiate a better premium for that coal is what's changing. People's appreciation of the quality is certainly improving, and we are obviously trying to, you know, selling that coal at a GC Newc plus basis, we're trying to make sure that we can get as high a margin over and above that GC Newc threshold as we can. You know, and in many instances, we're seeing ourselves approximate the JPU price by being able to do that.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Paul Young from Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Morning, guys. Question on Maules Creek production rates. Paul, you mentioned here that you ran above 9 million tonnes run rate for the June quarter. Actually, I think it was almost closer to 10, actually, 9.9 or thereabouts. And this is what's interesting to me, is that you're saying that you actually did that with the existing fleet, and yet the new fleet only arrives on site in September and will start ramping up, you know, by the end of the year. So you're almost at the 10.5 million tonne per annum rate already, and the June quarter was pretty wet. I mean, certainly it was here on the East Coast. I don't know how wet it was out there on site, but help me out here. I mean, if you bring this new fleet in, is this, you know, should I be looking at maybe you could actually exceed the 10.5 million tonne rate? Certainly don't want to get too far ahead, but, you know, the numbers are the numbers. And the other thing is that just on going beyond 10.5, do you actually need to apply for an amendment to your operating licence there to go beyond 10.5? Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. I'll just answer a couple of those parts, and I'll cut over to Jamie and he can answer those. But certainly no approval required. We're approved to go up to 13 million tonnes per annum, so nothing required there in doing that. That's just the addition of more equipment within that contemplated by the existing approval. So no issue there. I mean, your math is correct. There's obviously the run rate's looking pretty solid, but there are quarter on quarter you've got to look at things like strip ratio and so on, because the coal's coming out pretty freely in that back end of this quarter in particular. So, you need to look at it across the year in terms of that run rate, and that certainly moderates your expectation down from that near 10 number that you're referring to. But, you know, the math as you say. But the equipment's doing better than we expected in terms of what we've modelled. So I'll let Jamie give you some more meat on the bones in terms of what we're expecting out of that.
Yeah, Paul, I think Paul's already covered, I guess, the answer I was going to give you, I guess, is that, you know, the fourth quarter, we did push the equipment extremely hard, and I guess we've drawn down, you know, in-pit inventories, you know, accordingly as well, I guess, to achieve that annualised run rate from that last quarter. But going forward, you know, we do move into, you know, what will be the longer-term strip ratio, so there's a step up in that. So, you know, I mean, the simple answer is, you know, long-term, you know, more equipment is required to achieve that sustainable 10.5 million tonne a year rate.
Right, and so just further to that, you mentioned strip ratio, so I'll delve into that. I mean, what are you now and where are you going? Because it remind me, I think the life of mine strip ratio average is 6.4 to 1. So where are you now and where are you going?
Well, it was obviously less than that. You know, I think it was about 5.7, I think, for the full year. You know, so it's just a case of where we are in the mine at that particular point in time. So, you know, we've been pushing south, so we're up against some of the, the locks line, I guess, on the Braymont seam, so we've been enjoying some lower strip ratios, particularly in that fourth quarter, but for the full year as well. But, you know, there's an end to that, you know, and now we're stepping down into sections of the mine. We'll start to step down below the Braymont seam, so we'll essentially be moving into a more steady state long-term strip ratio, which is in the order of what you said, 6.3, 6.4.
Okay. And then, Paul, just on the coal market, we've seen the thermal coal price jump up pretty significantly, and, you know, a large part of that, of course, is seasonal impacts of the Indian imports and Chinese imports. But one of the big drivers, of course, as we all know, is the 276-day policy in China, but I'm really interested in just what you're seeing on demand and interest from Koreans and the Japanese at the moment on thermal side.
Yeah, Paul, it's been interesting to watch that, obviously, that very marked and quite rapid change in that price. So certainly I think the 276-day operating framework is biting, and so you would have seen the imports go up quite substantially into China period on period, which is interesting. But that's certainly interesting and does obviously have some, as you say, seasonal impact on the supply-demand balance. But I think the more encouraging thing from our perspective is just, you know, we've got every one of our customers expanding. You know, every one of our big thermal customers expanding, and that's a very positive thing when you go and visit each of these customers and they're talking about that new power station that's coming on that needs our coal as opposed to something designed for lower spec coal in other jurisdictions. That's very encouraging. So we're already talking to people about signing up term deals for power stations that are about to come online, and some which may even be a year or two away because they're worried about securing the quality they need. That's driving the premium that we're able to negotiate, particularly on Maules Creek, and now that cascading impact of that is now drifting into Narrabri as well. So premiums for Narrabri are improving. So it's that underlying demand that we're seeing with our customer base, which at the same time has been influenced obviously by that supply-demand balance in China tightening up. And the convergence of those two things has certainly put some momentum under the coal price, which is nice to see finally.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Your next question comes from Peter O'Connell from Shaw and Partners. Please ask your question.
Paul, three follow-ups. Firstly, Narrabri joint venture, one changeover in FY17 when you moved to the bigger phase. So that's, I think you said May, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Okay. Secondly, NCIG. During the period, some further talk about financing or refinancing about that. Thoughts on what that means to you? Does it mean anything? And how does that play out in terms of throughput costs or any other logistics issues?
Yeah, thanks, Peter. Yeah, look, I'll let Kevin speak to this because he does represent our shareholding in that at the board meetings. Look, overall, that was an interesting thing to observe. It was really, you know, from what we observe, an initiative driven by one of the other shareholders, and you know, we can't speak to the motivations for them. But there's no change in cost to us. For what we foresee, I think everybody acknowledges what's gone on with various resource-related credits across the country, and that does have some cascading impact to the assessments that individual lenders make on individual propositions that people want to table. As far as NCIG is concerned, we don't have any formal refinancing requirements for Kevin.
2018.
Yeah, so there's no issue there in terms of more immediate issues. But we keenly watch these things because it's in our interest to do that, obviously being a reasonable sized shareholder at NCIG.
Yeah, look, what I'd say to you, Rocky, is it's the difference between new money coming into a deal versus existing money in a deal. As Paul says, it was an existing shareholder in NCIG for their own reasons, seeking to restructure their arrangements. NCIG is a fantastic asset. You know, from our perspective, we look at it and say it gives us great flexibility around the coal supply chain. They run that thing very efficiently. You know, the operating costs to run it are low, and I think it's really well positioned. I think it's when we came to do the refinance, the conversations that we're having with banks is all around the quality of Australian coal and the international markets and its attractiveness. And I think NCIG's refinance in 18, or refinance of a component, and it's only a component of the total capital structure. If you understand the structure, it's a series of senior debt that matures over a number of years and is refinanced. But the existing banks in that group are very comfortable with the debt that they're holding. So from my perspective, or from our perspective, we look at it and say that the rollover of the debt with existing syndicate members and the refinance, or the rollover of those refinances, is expected to happen in ordinary course. And naturally, what we're bringing to the conversation with the NCIG management and shareholders, the experience we have in the Australian bank market, and how to best position that credit. And the shareholders of NCIG and the directors of NCIG regularly meet and discuss and are aligned in their view of how that asset should run.
Kevin, given that backdrop, is it conceivable that you could negotiate lower rates as you roll over, given the backdrop of lower rates globally? Is that an outcome which is possible?
Again, I'd say, look,
and
if you go
on lower charges.
Yeah, no, look, I'd say if you look at what the institutional banking market is telling you, the cost of funding coming into Australia is rising, and if you look at the announcements that have followed after the election with the credit rating, my natural inclination wouldn't be to expect that the wholesale rate of funding in Australia would be falling. So I wouldn't be trying to bank that in there.
And Paul, I have just a quick one on Vickery joint venture. And
yep.
Sorry, the Vickery project, I should say. Two things
yep.
on this. One is the sales process you've talked about on previous calls. Where are you
yep.
at with that? Could you just give us a sense of what's happening? And secondly, when you make a submission for an expansion of the project from 4.5 to 10, is there a situation, given the unpredictability of political backdrops, both state and federal, where you create a problem for yourself that you can you lose your existing permit or title to mine? So is there any jeopardy for your 4.5 by going for 10, or is that locked in the bag and you're going ahead in 219 no matter what? Or could that come and bite you on the arse, so to speak?
Yeah. Yeah, well, no is the answer to that. No one is biting us anywhere. But but no, you don't lose the 4.5 by asking for a 10. Now, if 10 stretches the limits on what people want in the area, and I do say that intentionally. I mean, obviously, we've embarked on a pretty significant consultation program with all the relevant stakeholders in the area and also regulators. So they're well aware of what we're attempting to do there. Incrementally, it's actually not a big change in the footprint. It's the run rate that changes. Which is more significant. More activity does create more impacts, there's no doubt about that. But they all seem quite manageable. Certainly all the studies we've performed on all the key aspects of compliance, certainly within the realms of compliance that we would seek for a 10 million tonne case. Now, the 4.5 million tonne case didn't have to interact with the federal government. The 10 million tonne case, because of subsequent changes to legislation, does. So that adds another dimension to the compliance requirements that we're going to have. But they weren't onerous requirements in the first instance in that regard. And certainly the expanded case really doesn't reflect any material change in those dimensions either. It's really just a matter of subsequent legislation requiring that the feds need to have a look at it now. I think the political environment that you're referencing is important, and I think it's really actually being seen to be looking at the federal level, despite those relatively modest impacts from going from 4.5 to 10, that they feel the need to do that, rather than there being a compelling case based on some enlarged impact. So, look, we're quite confident that those things will work their way through. The key thing for us, as I said, is just to really define the most optimal of the three rail corridor solutions that we're looking at. That's important work and goes to all those various stakeholder related matters, certainly land and noise and so on and vibration, dust, all those things are relevant to which path we choose. The government interactions thus far has actually been quite positive. So they see that the 10 million tonne case actually has significant benefits over and above the 4.5 million tonne case that we have currently approved, and so they are working with us to ensure that those benefits materialise. And the two key things, as we've talked about before, are taking all our trucking arrangements off the road and using rail for everything. So So that's certainly a massive community benefit that that the government sees as a positive, this enlarged project. And then there's the moving of our Gunnedah prep plant out of, you know, what's now an enlarging and growing vibrant town of Gunnedah because of the very stimulus that we're providing, and moving that up to on-site processing. So those two benefits are something the government's very keen to see happen, and I think that enhances the, if you like, the prospects of a favourable review by both the state and feds. JV-wise, we continue to just keep everybody on warm and on the side, because we said that we wouldn't open up the door to further discussions in that regard until such time that that we'd lodged our application for the enlarged approval, and certainly that's still the case. But we've had plenty of interest, and these various companies continue to file through our office here on almost a quarterly basis, just to get an update on how that's progressing, and just so they can stay in tune with where we're at with the project. So that's I'm quite happy about where that's going.
Great, thanks, Paul.
Your next question comes from Victor Tinvisky from Wood Mackenzie. Please ask your question. Hi, Victor. Your line is open. Please ask your question. There's no response from Victor.
I might move on to the next question. I think those sorts of...
Sure.
This is really an investor call, so if we want to... Those sorts of calls from Victor or others of that nature, they can call us directly. They've got our details to be able to do that.
Certainly, sir. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. Back to you, sir.
All right, thank you, operator. Thanks all once again for dialing into our final quarter for the year. Look forward to speaking to you all as we follow up discussions on these results, and certainly for for our August 18 release of our full financial results. But thanks very much for the time, and we'll see you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.